Sunday. I heard a couple, so we'll go with that. Dan, would you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. Now this will be hopefully the last lesson out of this spiritual growth or Christian growth and spiritual victory before we go move on to another one. But because it is the day we celebrate as Resurrection Day, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. And that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation stone of who a true believer is. We know people who worship him on the cross. I got saved out of a church where he's always on the cross. I sent out over 50 texts this morning. If you didn't get one, because I ran out of time before I get out the door. Okay, I had to get out the door and leave to get over here in time for prayer meeting. I kept sending, he is risen just as he said, happy resurrection day. And I sent out a lot of times to the people who aren't as faithful as you are. Some of you got it anyways, okay, because you came up there quick. And because I'd already been praying for Linda that she'd be feeling good enough to be here this morning. She got one this morning and responded. My phone has been going quack, 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 quack. And Judy goes, turn that down, because I'm getting 50 responses. So happy Resurrection Sunday. And I want you to know no good deed goes unpunished. And there's a man, I can't think of his name, but he's not happy with me. I allowed some of the young men from the church to fish on my pond with a special dispensation for that day. And they went and had fun, didn't you? And they had a competition. They were catching bass. Well, they parked along the road. Well, across the road is a man who moved from Canada. I'm not holding that against him. Okay, but I did tell him to go back there. He started screaming at Christian. Because when Christian tried to turn around the road, he went over on his side of the road too much and maybe pulled a little bit back onto his lawn a little bit and pulled out or on where he has a roadway. And I said, because Christian called me up and he says, you got a mean man across from the pond. He's screaming at me and swearing and cussing. And I go, yeah, he yelled at me because I was shooting beaver. That's only the other time I've seen the man. The beaver were flooding it out. I had people yelling at me because it was flooding their lawns. And I got a special permit from the state, a nuisance permit, that allows me to remove the beaver. I couldn't get enough people in to trap it because they won't let you trap it on their den, and that's the best way to catch them, going in and out of the den. They wouldn't let them do that. And one year, we killed an 80-pounder, a 60-pounder, and a 40-pounder. We're talking some big animals out of that thing, and they keep coming back because it's beautiful for that 15 acres of water. Well, I'm down there shooting beaver at sunset. He comes across the street yelling at me, what are you doing firing I said, it's a 22. He said, what are you doing firing a rifle across the road from my house? I said, because I own the property. I'm not shooting at your house. And I says, I got a problem with the beaver. And he says, I'm going to turn you in for killing them. And I says, go ahead. The DEC will laugh. I got a permit. They want me to do that because they plug up sluiceways, roadways, and everything like this. And he goes, how do I know you aren't going to shoot my cat? And I told him, if your cat plugs up my sluiceway, I'll shoot him like I shoot the beaver. And I says, I know the difference between a cat and a beaver. Well, I don't like your attitude. And I said, I'm sorry. I've owned this pond longer than you've been anywhere in the area. And he's in Bob Longley's log cabins. Okay, so that's the only thing I've had with him. I try to wave at him when I drive by. Well, Christian must have touched his lawn because he's come out screaming at him, told him to get off his road. An hour later, he'd walked from his house to the pond about a half mile to come down to my house, is up on my porch screaming and swearing at my wife. And Judy says, "You got an angry man outside." I said, "Okay." And I walked out, and he forgot how big it was. And he starts, and he's cursing, he's swearing at me. And I said, "What is your problem? You sent those young creeps down there on purpose with a lot of swear words just to irritate me." I said, "No, I gave four young men permission to fish on my pond." That's what I did. "No, you didn't." And I said, "Yes, I did." And he's swearing at me, and he says, "He told me that I'm very rich and that I've ripped you all off. That I got rich and you guys are poor because I'm rich. I'm one of those pastors." See, that's what they think of anybody who preaches the gospel. If I'm rich, let me know, okay? And if I ripped you off, you wouldn't be sitting in this building. That's just the truth of that, okay? And he's yelling at me, and he's cussing and swearing. He goes off the porch, then he comes back up and goes, "Well, I think he's coming at me." And I'm sorry. Forgive me. My flesh came up, and I doubled my fists because he's coming back at me. And he says, "You going to hit me?" And I says, "Not if you get off my property." And he goes to leave, and he starts down the driveway. When he comes back, he's screaming at the top of his lungs, so I know all my neighbors are looking out their windows going, "Yeah, here we go." And I said, "Leave the property now. You don't curse and swear at this place. Get off." And he called me an a blankety blank and a bunch of other stuff, and I said, "Get off the property and have a very good day. God bless you, you evil-hearted person. Get off my property." You know what? The devil was trying to steal my joy, because the day before, I'm hoping there's a man who's going to show up in church from Walmart in Fulton, because I had a divine appointment, and I'm witnessing to him, and he's going, "Oh, I'm saved. I moved here from Texas about 3 years ago, and I'm looking for a good church." And he said he was going to try to be here today. So, you know, you get on a high. You know the devil doesn't want you to be on a high. But you know what the devil can't steal? He is risen just as he said. My salvation's secure because of him. And I'm praying for the man across the street from my pond that he'll get saved. It's all you can do with that. It's all you can do with that. If you think everybody's going to like you, they don't like it when you tell them you know you're going to heaven, and you tell them if they don't know Jesus, they are not. That's why I started with the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When people are ready to hear, they're here. They'll hear. I don't know who's going to hear, so I'm going to tell them all. Because I firmly believe not only is he resurrected, as he said, Jesus said, and Pastor Kinney is going to use something in a message this morning. Jesus said, "As like man as you see me, I'm coming again." So I know where he's coming. I know where he's going to be. And I know where I'm going to be because of that. So I just want to encourage you this morning with that. Now, with that, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and in hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may," what? Christians are meant to grow. When a child, a baby is born and they don't start gaining weight, the doctors get nervous very quickly, don't they? Either they're not able to absorb what's being fed to them, or they're being fed the wrong thing, or there's something else wrong, and they need help. And the best thing for a baby is mother's milk. Hasn't been improved upon since the creation of man. Best thing for him. You know what the best thing for a believer is? the Father's milk, the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And with this, they said, this series of messages is called Christian Growth and Spiritual Victory. And we've looked at the fact that we need to devour God's Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. If it doesn't go from your head to your heart, it doesn't change your life. Plain and simple. Because I'm not talking about the pump, the four-chambered pump in the middle of your chest. I'm talking about your spiritual heart, your discerner. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You'll make choices based on where your affections are. And we're told in Colossians, set your affections on things above and not on things here on earth. Okay? So we looked at devouring God's Word. I'm not going to reteach that. We looked at protecting God's Word last week. Protecting God's Word. This morning, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Just as I read the first six verses of that chapter, I want you to jump down to verse 33. We're going to start at verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, I die daily. You've got to choose to live for Christ every day. Now, if you're saved, you're His, that doesn't change. If you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, your salvation is secure until Jesus sins. And He's not going to. It's not based on whether I sin, it's based on whether He sinned. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The moment you prayed to receive Christ, God took your sin. It was put on the account that Jesus paid on the cross, paid in full. One of the people that I sent Happy Resurrection Sunday to this morning sent back, showed an open tomb and said, paid in full. I like that. Paid in full. There's nothing more that could be done to purchase your salvation. Not only does He save you, He keeps you. Now, there's churches that teach that that's not true. But they don't take Scripture with Scripture with Scripture with Scripture. I can show you can lose it if I take you just to the Beatitudes in Matthew, or I take you just to the book of Hebrews, and they misapply it. I can show you verses like that. I can show you verses that says, and people will say, well, you got to have works to go with your faith, because it says faith without works is dead. They don't understand. It says, ye see. Because you know what? If you want to judge me, you want to think whether I'm saved or not, you're going to judge what you see in the outward. But you know what I know from the Old Testament? Look not on his stature, nor his countenance. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Okay, so your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. And if God can sin, you go to hell. Now, if you are saved, guess what? You're not doing right. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you receive not chastening, then you're bastards and not sons. Because He's a good father, and you have to train your children, because you don't have to teach people to sin. You have to teach them to do right. And if you don't discipline your children, they become spoiled and they control the home. You have to teach them to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. What? Be happy in Jesus, but trust and obey. You want a happy child? Make them secure. They know the boundaries. When you don't have boundaries in your home, guess what happens? The kids become unhappy and they push. And they're not secure. You know, loving, proper discipline in a home makes your children feel more secure, more safe. I didn't say abuse. I said loving, biblical, proper discipline. Say, what does it have to do with the message? Nothing. I'm just venting. Okay? So What I want you to understand here is it says in verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 15, this morning we need to realize you are not of the world any longer. You have a heavenly citizenship secure in Jesus Christ, who is already in the heavens. He's in heaven, the third heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. The second member of the Godhead is before the throne. And when you mess up, the Son says, mine. They're mine. Father, you gave them to me. Because the Bible says all that come to Jesus Christ or come to God through Jesus Christ shall in no wise perish. You have eternal life. But it says, be not deceived, evil communications, that's what you say and how you live, corrupt what? Good manners. Any sort of evil. I don't care if it's literature, television, movies, internet, music, personal associates, friends, relatives, government. Good manners means your Christian walk. Any association with what God calls evil hurts the quality of your Christian life. Do you ever notice when kids do wrong, but the hammer hasn't fallen yet, and they haven't been dealt with on it, they act kind of wonky around you? Because they're afraid you'll know and they start feeling guilty. You know what people do with guilt? They try to make it someone else's fault. I never would have done that if you hadn't. They transfer guilt. Or they run from guilt. Right? Or they deny the guilt outwardly and it eats them up inwardly. And they end up becoming bitter about something. You know what my Bible tells me? If we confess our sins, not written to lost people, because they can confess their sins all day, it doesn't save them. Trusting Jesus Christ saves them. They need to acknowledge they're a sinner in need of a Savior. But to the believer, it's like a child going to their father or their mother and admitting what they have done and asking for forgiveness. That's what it is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John Chapter 1, is that verse 9? Yes. It corrupts good manners. You want the quality of the Christian life. I have to die daily. Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Because I get upset, and my flesh wells up. When that man challenged me, come and attack me verbally, and started acting aggressively towards me, I had a fleshly reaction. I tightened my fist up. I took a T stance. And he goes, you gonna fight me? And I looked at my wife after, that guy's got to be every much as old as I am. Can you picture two 70-plus-year-olds having a fist fight on my front lawn? Oh, wouldn't that have been glorious? Ooh! Ow. You know, and what would it have proved? That I wasn't living my Christian life. My Savior bore my sorrows and my sin. You know what that man needs to see? More of Christ in me and less of Bryant Legault. It affects the quality of your Christian life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're to be separate from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you know the passage. People try to use this just when a saved person is getting ready to get married to an unsaved person. It's so much more than that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not married and you're looking and you think, well, I'll marry that person and then I'll change them and help them come to Christ. It may happen because God wants it to, but two rules in marriage. Men are simple, women are complicated. Ask any man Okay. Women figure they have us all figured out. Men, we go, what do you want? All right? Men are simple. Women are complicated. Not talking about intelligence. I'm talking about the way the emotion stuff come into it. Rule number two, you can't change anybody else. God doesn't force a person to change against their own will. He encourages them to. He's trying to change us. He brings circumstances in for we make choices. And when you choose to do it God's way, he blesses you. When you don't choose to do it God's way, he leaves it to your own actions and you get the consequences of what you chose. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Do I have some unsaved friends? Yes, and I witness to them all the time. I have unsaved family members. Howard Bacon's over there. Is he teaching this morning, filling in for somebody, Linda? Or just or playing? He's watching the doors and taking care of, make sure stuff is running. I can remember back before this church ever started, Howard would look at me, I'd look at him, and he'd go something, he'd go, you know, we're closer than my physical blood. That relationship can be that way. If you're both looking to please the Savior, there's something about two believers come together and they have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Do family members ever fight? I am French, Irish, and English. Do you realize that? French think they're superior and they've always had to have somebody rescue them. The Irish will fight at the drop of a hat. And the English can be too stodgy. Right? And they have a sense of humor sometimes you can't figure out. Does that fit me? Okay. So in my family, some think they're superior. I could get my sisters to pick a fight with me. You know how? All I'd have to do is tell them, and I've told you this before, I'd say, Mom loved me best. I can get a 65-year-old, she's now, let me see, I'm 71, she's getting close to 80. I can get her mad still to this day. She does not, she loved us all the same. The only one that doesn't bother is my sister that is only, she's the one that introduced Judy and I, my sister Kathy. They were friends in high school before I knew Judy existed there, or before I admit it, okay? Because they're both the same, you know, both of them are Ewoks or Hobbits or whatever you want to call them, the little people, all right? And the only thing Kathy would ever say to me is, yeah, of course Mom loves you best. She has a place in her heart for special needs children. Okay. So I don't pick on her. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? I'm closer to my sisters now than I ever was because they've all gotten saved. How do you like that? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with a what? Who you ever spend most of your time with is how you will respond, how you will react. If you spend all your time, when you're working, you don't have a choice. With your neighbors, you don't have a choice. With your family, you don't have a choice. You're supposed to be witnessing to them. Just don't partake of what they're doing when it's sin. But when you have a choice, it ought to be with those of like precious faith, because iron sharpeneth iron, it'll help you to grow in the Lord. Amen? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have, which is in you? And ye are not of yourselves? For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God's. They're his. See, this is not something complicated. And it says, because he's told you to separate, it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, for I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Believer, you should be witnessing to your lost friends, relatives, and co-workers. If you're not, start. If you don't know how, give them a track. Believer, if new people come to the church, you ought to reach to them. You ought to talk with them. You should develop friendships so that they can come ye out and be ye separate, and they have someone to fellowship with. We get almost in our own little groups and our conclaves. It ought not to be that way. Open your heart. Open your home. We have some people who do that very good, others not so good. It will bless you. If you ever, Judy and I, we have people at our house all the time. We do different things. And it's a case of it. You'll enjoy my wife. She's nice. Carla, I'm not so nice, am I? It's my daughter-in-law. I embarrassed her at work the other day. I gave her a hard time in front of one of her. She's one of the heads at the service desk, right? And that was then the shift manager? Store manager. And I was sort of harassing her in front of him. He enjoyed it. I was hoping maybe she'd get the witness afterwards and not have to continue to be red in the face because I was picking on her, embarrassing her in the store she worked at. Okay? You say this, why? Because we're instructed to have no fellowship with evil things. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. For ye sometimes were darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is what? Acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. If you don't reprove it, it'll hinder your growth. I did not say don't talk to your own lost family members. Love them. They're going to say things because if you talk to them about the Savior, you tell them you got confidence of heaven. When they don't understand, they'll think, well, you know what they hear? What do you think unsaved people hear when you tell them you know you're going to heaven and they need to go to heaven, and if they don't trust Christ, they're going to go to hell? What do you think they hear? You think you're better than me. No. The Apostle Paul said, I am least of all men. You reach them in confidence and humility, always with the Word of God. Faith cometh by my testimony. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. One little scripture verse can change somebody's life. One mention of you'll pray for them and say, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, you think you're special? No, but my God is. Let me tell you about him. Amen? The Bible says that if a believer loves the world, the love of God is not in him. 1 John, I'm not telling you anything that I cannot support with Scripture. You ready? I want you to give you the definition of love and hate, biblically. Love is, I choose my wife over my children. I love my wife. I love my children, but I love my wife more. You know what hate is? I love you less than. You will love the one and hate the other. You know what people think when you don't put them here? You hate me. No. Guess what? You're here, you're part of the body of Christ. If you're saved, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm no better than you. I put hopefully my shoes on the same way you do. I don't throw them up in the air, jump up, and stick my feet in them. Probably some of you can stand up and put them on. No, I have to use a shoehorn because I have a 71-year-old back and it doesn't bend over, so I can't do that. And I have a long handle on mine, right, so I can get in. But you know what? We're the same. We just have different positions in the body of Christ, a different body part. The eye doth not tell the ear that it's not part of the body because it's not the eye. Don't you know you're all part of the body of Christ and everyone's important? They used to think medically the appendix had no use. My first doctor that I chose, he's now since passed away, and I witnessed him many times, was Dr. Angelo Piorina. When he went through medical school at the University of Rochester, they were taught that vitamins were placebos. They had no work in the body. And he goes, you know how stupid we were? We didn't know that the appendix was part of the immune system. So what do? Instead of getting it healthy, we yank it out. They just thought it was the term was a vestal organ. What? Say it again. Vestigial organ, one that through evolution no longer has any use. See what the evolutionists know? Every part of you is important. Every cell of you is important. And he goes, we didn't know what we know now. I can remember him telling me that. And I said, so you're treating me and you don't know what this and this and this is? And I said, I better go to the person who knows what it is, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. I probably have more foreign parts in me than most of you do. And I've probably had normal parts of me, more of them taken out of me than you have. I just wait for the rapture, and I want to know. I just hope the screws, the rods, any other stuff, they don't go up in the rapture. I hope they don't hit anybody in the head as I'm going up, and they're stuck here afterwards. Amen. If you don't know what that's about, ask Pastor Kenny. Okay? 1 John chapter 2. Just a little bit before the book of Revelation at the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world and the love of if any man love the world, the love of the Father is where? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the... And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what? That doesn't mean you got to do it right every day. You know when you want to do the will of God? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to do the will of God? You can never do it in your flesh. You can only start doing it after you become His by trusting in His Savior. Jesus said, all those that come unto me, I will in no wise what? Cast out. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What I see, I want, I got to have. Just walk through Walmart or sit at the Subway thing and watch the kids throw a fit when their mother or father doesn't buy them that thing they want. All right? I want lust of the flesh. What about a bag of Lay's? For me, it's the Ripple chips. Okay? I'll eat any potato chip. Okay? I love the salt, but I love the Ripple ones because when I stick them in my horseradish or my onion dip or anything else, they don't break as easy. You ever seen that? Can you eat just one? No. Oh, God forbid. Mike, my son's helping me yesterday. I'll see if you come down my driveway now. After that guy comes storming at my house, we put up a camera so my wife knows. Okay, so it's shooting down my driveway. And she can talk through it. We tried it with her yesterday. Can you see? Don't come down my driveway. No, my wife. She ought to put one of those voice activators on and make her sound like Darth Vader or something, you know. But we put that in, and we had to drive to a Swiggle, get a part. And I said, Mike, I'll buy you lunch when we go in here. I told him Chinese. It didn't make a difference. Said, we'll have whatever you want. And he goes, well, no, I got stuff to get to do. He was supposed to help me for a couple hours and go over. And there was a to-do honey-do list, wasn't there, Carla? And he didn't show up in time to do the honey-do list because by the time we got done monkeying around, it was 6 o'clock. And I got to get ready to come over to men's prayer that happened last night. Men's prayer last night? Okay. So he went home. But we went to have lunch, and he goes, "We're in a hurry, Dad. Why don't we just go through Wendy's? Every time you eat Burger King, I get sick, and no one wants to eat McDonald's." And I go, "I'll eat them all." So we go through Wendy's, and we go through. You know what they have there now? They have a Girl Scout cookie mint frosty that's ground up, the mint cookies. I look at that, and I said, "Give me a large." I hadn't seen it yet. Lust of the flesh. All right? And you understand what the lust of the flesh is? Something you want. Lust of the eyes is you seeing something you don't have and think you want it. Who can stand before envy? All right? Be happy with such things as you have. If you don't know where that is in your Bible, look it up. You got to make hard choices. You're either going to choose to love the world or love the Savior. You can't do both. You'll either love the one. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon's another name for the world. For you'll love the one and hate the other. And if you do, you'll not be able to do the things that you ought. You still with me? You're supposed to be separate from the world. That's your music. That's your associations. If it's a problem for you that pulls you into the world, love God first. Jesus was asked, "What is the first and great commandment? You rich young ruler, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy as thyself." If you love them as Christ loves you, you get along with your neighbors better. I'm just glad that guy in the log cabin lives down around the corner. He's not my immediate neighbor. My immediate neighbor, he's the one who sent me the thing that is finished this morning. I keep praying for them. Said something nice to his wife as she's going to the mailbox just the other day. Younger couple. I'm just the old man who lives next door. Meet the old man who lived in a shoe. Had so many children, he didn't know what to do. I keep looking for more children. Do you know your kids become my kids? That's the way they are in my heart. I got saved out of Inagata Devita. If you don't know what that is, please don't go look that up. Yeah. Don't ask Pastor Kenny. He's going to say, "Preacher, what'd you do?" So you're supposed to separate from the world, okay? You want to grow in Christian growth? You got to be in the world. See, the Bible says be in the world, but not of the world. Now, go to Romans chapter 16, and we will finish this up. Romans chapter 16. You're supposed to separate from false teachers. Please do not get your doctrine off the internet. That's not the way God ordained for you to learn. Search the scriptures that you might know that you have eternal life. I could take you on YouTube and show you that the world is flat. I could take you to the YouTube and show you that there was no teaching on dispensations before C.I. Schofield. That's a lie. I can take you to the internet and show you that you're going through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. I can take you to the internet and show you that you're going through the whole tribulation. I can take you to the internet and show you that there's no tribulation. I can take you to the internet and show you that there's no millennial reign. It just continues on. I can take you to the internet and show you that God is done with His chosen people Israel. Lie out of hell. I can take you to the internet and show you churches that said they've taken the places of Israel. I can take you to a place on the internet that tells you if you're not a Baptist, you're not saved. I can take you to the internet and show you a place that if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. And it's very easy for them, because you know what? They're not shepherds. Because the shepherd giveth life for the sheep. And the shepherd will be there to protect you. And the shepherd will be there to feed you. And if your shepherd doesn't give you scripture with scripture with scripture, and he pulls a verse out of context, he's a false teacher. We've all had a little bit of that sometime, haven't we? Romans chapter 16. I am not fired up. Yes, Judy, this is me calm. You should see me fired up. No, please don't see me fired up. Romans 16. You ready? Look at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause what? And offenses contrary to the what? Which ye have. And avoid them. For they are that are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? They're trying to build a following. My Bible says of Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. It doesn't say that that preacher's to be lifted up and draw men. There's a guy in Texas, has one of the biggest churches in the world, and he's sending people to hell every day. I mean, his church is so big, they meet in a stadium. And he's on TV. And he's a false teacher. Because he went to India and he said, the Hindus are our brothers. No, they're lost people needing the Savior. Otherwise, why would Paul Victor be stoned, have the scarves to prove it, have his legs broken, his arms broken? Why would he have some of his pastors beat almost to death, imprisoned? Because they're trying to bring the gospel to somebody who's trusting in something other than what God's word says saves you. Amen? Beware of false teachers. Turn to Titus chapter 3. I may be finished on time. You guys aren't used to that. John says, no, we're not. Titus chapter 3. You ready? Verse 9. You say, why is this in the Bible? Because it started coming in as soon as the tomb opened up and before it opened up. Before the resurrection, before the ascension of Christ, false teaching started coming in. Verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, what? Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned himself. We have a religious group in America. We all get lumped in as Christianity. You know what that means? The type of religion that has some worship towards Jesus Christ. You know what there's a problem with it? One of them has a Bible that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Doesn't say that. There's no A in the Greek or the Hebrew. New Testament's Greek, all right? It says He is God. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God. He's not just a son of God. He's not a created being. You know what that does? And things get convoluted. I'm telling you, am I saved by the Roman Catholic Church? No, I got saved out of that because it says religion's in the church and that the church, Roman Church took the place of Israel with God. But they do believe in the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. They do believe in that. Now, Church of the Latter-day Saints, they do not believe that Jesus is God. Throw them out right there. Because either he is or eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And you're going to be judged according to your sin against a holy, righteous God who can have no sin in his presence. If you have just God the Father, you don't measure up. He is holy and I am not. He is righteous, I am not. He is pure and I am not. He is perfect in all his ways and I am not. Is that enough? Yes. But I can't attain unto him and I have no right to be in his presence. But in eternity past, it's a weird saying, it's before the beginning of time because God is outside of time. He created it, right? They decided that their creation was going to fall when they give them choices. See, Lucifer, who became Satan, was a created being. He had a beginning but no end. And in pride, he fell and took one-third of the angels with him. And that's where our spiritual battle is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's no person on the face of the earth who is actually truly my enemy. They can be used to the enemy. They're captive to the enemy. It's almost like, and I remember some of you weren't born when the Vietnam War was going on. They'd take the POWs and they'd beat them and try to brainwash them and get them to go on the radio and then spout stuffs against America and say communism was right. Some of you maybe have seen pictures before they beheaded some of them over in the Middle East where they turn around and say Islam is the true religion because they've been beaten and tortured, and then they killed them and had Americans or non-Islamists forced to say Allah is God, and he is not. That's the moon god. That's not the God of heaven and earth, the creator. Allah and the Father are not the same. One is loving and one is not. One is forgiving and one is not. One tries to deal with the heart and the other converts at the end of a sword. If Christianity ever was supposed to be established and it had to convert by forcing you, that's no choice. That's no choice. And God gives all of us a choice. And the choice is, if you want to go to heaven, trust Jesus Christ. You want to go to hell, any other way will do. You want to debate it in the Bible? Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Kinney. Talk to someone else. We're to avoid people who teach contrary things to the Bible. Right? Just read your Romans 16. Now, Titus, our last verse, chapter 3 and verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogy and contentions, see, I've read this, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And a man that is a heretic, he's gone against the accepted teaching of the Word of God throughout the church, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. If you don't know your Bible well enough to try to witness to a Mormon missionary, don't let him in your house. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus is God. Mormons do not believe Jesus is God. They don't. They both have got their own books that has nothing to do with the Bible. They both teach that you get saved through baptism and works. That's a religion. That's not a relationship. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you have a heavenly Father, you have a Savior who wants to have a personal relationship with you because he loves you and wants you to get to know him because he knows everything about you and still loves you. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. He that is perfect, or he hath loved us with a perfect love. We love him because he first loved us. So, you need to devour the Word of God. You need to protect it in your heart. You need to separate from the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. I'm not talking about cloistering and going into the hills and the mountains and hiding from them because you can't reach them. That's why this church goes into the highways and byways and compels them to come in. We've seen people saved every year on the street corners in Fulton and Oswego. Not so much in Wolcott. We're still there. We don't see that many. We had a few get saved in Wolcott. Okay? highways and byways. Why? Because Jesus said, compel them. We're just obeying and God's going to do the work. You know, as we witness out there, we see people come here and get saved. They didn't even get saved on a corner, but God sent them here. You think that's a coincidence? Separate from the world and separate from false teachers. If you can't go scripture with scripture and agree with their teaching, go talk to your pastor. Right? All God's children said amen. Take a break.